I'm Selena Sage, and Live Free is for our collective liberation. Namaste and welcome. This morning, I have been inspired to meditate on the nature of creativity and inspiration. And this has really been inspired by three dear people in my life, two spiritual soul sisters, fellow nomads living here in Cabo Verde, supporters of this podcast, my friend Raquel, who encouraged me to read Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love, and also dear Julia, who sent me a sample of recordings from Pema Chodron. And there was a particular part of that recording that really stood out that I'll be sharing as well. And last but certainly not least, my dear nephew, Makoa, and Makoa's connection to this talk will organically be revealed during this discussion. So to start, though, I was thinking about the nature of creativity and inspiration. Where does inspiration come from? And in this book that's called Big Magic, there are some really interesting ideas that are shared. One, that ideas are just energy and they show up and they wait for someone to connect with them. And if that person does not connect with the energy of the idea's energy just moves on to someone else, which I thought was really interesting. And she, in the book, was describing how it can happen when someone else has an idea or writes a book or makes a creation that you felt was your idea, that it was just actually the idea itself that was shifting from person to person. And she also discusses this concept of inspiration. You know, where does it come from? What does it feel like? And she brought in some Greek philosophers who basically used this term, which I'm not remembering at the moment, that is like the inspiration is the genius, is the guide that visits you. And I connected this to the concept of being a vessel. So you're just a vessel by which that that divine guidance is flowing through. And so the guide or the divine inspiration or whatever you call it is actually the creator of the idea. You're just the vessel. And what I like about this and what I feel so connected with about this is that it allows you to disconnect your work from your personal self. If you feel that it is because of you that an idea is created, then you take on the weight of all criticism and all praise. And that can either destroy your sense of personal self or it can bolster it. But the problem with that is that you're always going to have both. So if you're putting your weight, your feelings in other people's hands in that way, then you're constantly on this yo-yo where you're going up and down. But if you recognize that you are just a vessel for this inspiration, then you no longer feel that you are the doer. And as Sri Ramana Maharshi says, the doer must be the sufferer. So if you're not recognizing yourself as the doer, then you're not the sufferer. It also means that you just celebrate the beauty of the idea rather than yourself. And so this takes a lot of pressure off of you and allows you to flow more freely with whatever is flowing through you as that vessel. And in the book, I'm definitely paraphrasing, there was also a discussion of this one author who described inspiration as something that flows through like a wind through the fields, and she felt that she was always trying to catch it and grab paper and pen before that wind blew away. And when I read that, I sort of had a connection with it because when I feel those bursts of inspiration, I feel it sort of coming in from above, actually. And it feels like this bright light that is just full of all of these like sparkles. And I'm trying to capture the sparkles with my pen and write the ideas. And sort of similar to that analogy in the field, I'm trying to write them all before, one, before they disappear. And so it causes me to kind of like stop everything else, stop eating, stop doing anything except just trying to capture those ideas. And it also makes me realize that I can't judge. In that moment that I'm capturing, I cannot judge what is coming through me. I can't assess, oh, this is good or this is bad. I'm just sort of capturing those words as they come. And I remember I had a talk several years ago, I think it was 2018, with the great and prolific writer, Walter Mosley. I met him at a writer's conference. And he asked me, when we were talking after his talk, if I wrote every day. And I said, you know, there was a time when I did. And I said, but now I just sort of write snippets of ideas as they come. And so I always try to make sure I have pen and paper with me because I never know when those ideas might come up. And he said, well, you really should write every day. And I said, I agree with that. But what happens for me is that when I write a book, it all flows through me at once. And it's just like this rush that happens. And I just have to capture it. And I find that because that happens, I actually really need to spend more time resting and being open for that flow to come. And he said, oh, you're like, and I can't remember, he compared me to some other ancient writer, and he kind of nodded at me with understanding. And I really appreciated that. I mean, it would not have mattered if we agreed or disagreed, but I appreciated that he made the connection that all of our, as creatives, all of our systems, our ways of capturing that elusive magic of inspiration happen differently. I definitely see the value of writing every day, taking time to hone your craft, and that applies to any creative field, whether you're a writer or a painter or a musician or any kind of artist, to take time and space to just have that blank canvas, that blank sheet of paper, the piano keys, whatever it is that is your medium for that creative juice that flows, have those materials around you. But I think that the way that the inspiration flows happens differently. And so that's where you have to experiment. And it's I think, a wonderful thing to just create, no matter whether you think it's good or not, just to create and practice shifting all of the, you know, the ideas that live sort of in the ether to channeling them on whatever your medium is. So I think there's value in that, but there's also this other aspect of inspiration that when I was kind of meditating on it today, sort of arose, these three things that I feel inspiration requires. So I feel that inspiration requires that openness, the space to land. And so through meditating, which is another way of just being of no mind, you know, clearing out all thoughts, just being fully present in the moment of now, surrounded by your materials for creating, whatever they may be. If you're a dancer, maybe you're wearing your dancing clothes, whatever it is, you just stay immersed in silence and be still. Be open, allow for whatever inspiration wants to show up, recognizing that maybe it will come, maybe it won't. The universal clock is not set to align with our clock. So you can either move your body without that inspiration or just continue that practice of being open and knowing that the lightning will strike because of that openness. And the second is bravery. So that to me is the courage to act. So whenever that inspiration hits, to be brave, to be courageous, to not judge what those ideas are or what that inspiration is, and to just do it. If you start to see this vision of, you know, a story or, you know, some art that's happening in your mind, you know, you take the courageous step of daring to make that mark on the blank canvas or the blank page and to begin. The courage to act is so important. And last but not least is gratitude. And this is just appreciation and recognition for the inspiration, whether it arrives or not. It's just saying thank you. Thank you for when the ideas come, and also thank you for when they don't, because those moments of silence and stillness are sort of the ground that you're laying. It's the openness that you're creating with the recognition that the inspiration will come when it wants to. It's just not today, just not at this moment. And so for me, those are the three components of inspiration that are really important. And I find that when I'm blessed to be graced by inspiration, whatever form it is, it's because I'm really quiet. I don't have this running dialogue. I just have a blank piece of paper, maybe with a scribbled idea, and that suddenly, like, I feel a spark and it sort of starts to build. And I typically write all of my books on paper first before I transition them to computer. That's just how my acting happens. It happens through the writing. And so as I write the idea, I just work on getting everything that's flowing through me on paper. And then I know that when I read it again, or as I'm going through it, the new inspiration of what should happen next just sort of arises on its own. It's not something that I saw at the beginning of the process. So this inspiration, if we see it as a guide, as a divine sort of gift, if we recognize ourselves as a channel, then we're open for whatever form the inspiration takes. And I think of my own books as a reflection of that. My first book, A Book of Questions. My second book, A Book of Poetry. My third book, A Book of, you know, Steps to Get Free. Book four, Haiku. And my latest book, book five, is Zen Reflections. And all of them are different. All of the forms, all of the organization, the art, it's all different. And I think that is a reflection of this courage to just accept whatever form that it's taking, and to know that it doesn't always have to look the same or be the same. It's just being open enough and brave enough to capture it. And I also think that the art, when you feel that creativity and the inspiration, you feel it as a gift first to yourself. And so I know that all of my books have helped me, published and unpublished, they have helped me. And so the sharing of the book is not necessarily with the intention of it being some game-changing, life-changing book for other people. It's just an overflow that I knew this was like a game changer for me that I want to share with others. I'm not sitting down writing, thinking, oh, this is what I'm going to do for other people. It's like, no, this is just a reflection on something that either I experienced or learned or questioned. And the form of the books is really meant to share that. And so with all that said, I'd like to actually bring in my dear nephew, Lakoa, who I love so dearly. And it happened on February 22nd, so just 3 days ago, that I had that sudden burst of inspiration, like that feeling of being like overwhelmed with all these ideas that I had to just capture. Thankfully, I was at home, blank pages nearby, and it was a seed of an idea that Sweet Makoa had mentioned the last time we video chatted, was that he asked if I could write a book for us. And I said, oh, I love that. And it was sort of at the end of the conversation. We didn't have time to talk about it, but it stayed with me. And so 3 days ago, I just sort of had this idea of creating a book for us. And it's really a book for him, but it's definitely for me too. And I've written another children's book, yet unpublished. And one of the things that is sort of in the process with that book is the illustrations. So I sketched out illustrations, but wanted to refine them more for the book. And so when I thought about this project with my sweet nephew, Makoa, I thought, you know, I don't want to get hung up on the illustrations. I'm just going to focus on the words. So I just wrote all of the words that were coming to me. And then there was this spark that Makoa should be the one to create the illustrations. He is an amazing artist. And what I love about his artistry is that he has the courage to just tackle that blank white sheet of paper and just start creating. And I think what happens to many of us, especially as we get older, is that we don't want to start because we're afraid we might get it wrong. But Makoa just creates, and that's the beauty of children. He's 7 and he's so creative, and he just hits the page and creates. And so the message I'd like to share with him now that we have this new project together that I created with Empty Space for his illustrations is that I hope that he channels that same courage to just capture whatever is arising for him, that he doesn't judge his art, that he just creates whatever he feels the page is calling him to create and uses the best colors and captures the energy of the message in the way that only he can. And so that really allowed me to share the project with him openly because I wasn't hung up on the artistry, which is something he's much more, I think, naturally gifted at. And so that creative project was just sort of a reminder of the inspiration that appeared to me as this like story in words and a reflection of our beautiful meditations and recognizing that he could really make this book a masterpiece with his artistry beyond what I could do. And so there was this, you know, this openness for the idea, the bravery to capture it and not judge. Is this story good enough? I mean, that happens anyway, but just to not like focus on that, to focus on if it's good enough and just get it all done before that voice of doubt can catch up with you. So I did this project all in one day, all at one time, because I knew that if I gave it a lot more time, I would have all these other ideas and perhaps doubts and voices to say, no, this is dumb, and no, he won't like this. And I said, you know, I'm going to put all of that aside and just move forward. And I have this gratitude not only for the idea that came up, but also for the beautiful pictures that his mother, my beautiful sister Rosa, sent of how happy he was to have it in his hands. And so that was, you know, not only a gratitude for the idea, but a gratitude that we could share in this project and that he might have felt his auntie's love, even though she's thousands of miles away. So all of those things for me really came up this week with that project in particular, but also with all of my projects. And I hope that you are taking to heart just this idea that all of us are creative. You're not a creative just because that's what you do for a living. We all have an inner creative. And I feel like you know this creativity based on how you respond to what's around you. So if you surround yourself with colored pens and pencils, are you writing a story or are you drawing a story? Are you doing both? Are you creating music? Are you writing songs? Are you using the pens as drumsticks to make music. How is that creativity, that inspiration flowing through you? What is your natural inclination? And if you allow yourself to just be open to that, you can then harness that inspiration that's organically coming and courageously act on whatever's arising, to not judge it, to just create. And if you feel so inspired, to share. And then, of course, to have that gratitude. So one of the other messages from Dear Julia that I wanted to share was this recording that she sent from Pema Chodron, who's a Buddhist nun and well-known teacher. I think she has many published books that were based on her audio recordings. And so Julia sent me a collection of her audio recordings. It was like 7 hours. So my first comment was, whoa, I think knowing how I am, I'm just going to have to skip through and listen to a few minutes here and there, because listening to 7 hours straight feels really overwhelming. And that's one of the reasons why I try to keep my episodes short, because my attention span is the same way. I need to have like the bite-sized chunks. Sometimes the full buffet feels overwhelming. But this particular part that I skipped to was perfect. And it's so perfect that someone else in the world also latched onto this idea. I felt connected to it. Or maybe this idea connected with them, depending on how you look at it. And they typed it up for me. Or typed it up in general, but I felt like it was for me. And this was the teaching by Pema. She said, I remember one time going to Rinpoche, I think that's how you pronounce it, her teacher. So she remembers one time going to her teacher with what I thought was a very powerful experience for my practice. I was all excited and I was telling him about this experience, and he had a look. It was kind of an indescribable look, a very open look. You couldn't call it compassionate or judgmental or anything. And as I was telling him about this, he touched my hand and said, "No big deal." He wasn't saying bad and he wasn't saying good. He was saying that these things happen and they can transform your life, but at the same time, don't make too big a deal of them, because that leads to arrogance and pride or a sense of specialness. On the other hand, making too big a deal about your difficulties takes you in the other direction. It takes you into poverty, self-denigration, and a low opinion of yourself. And that really, I felt, was really, really powerful on many different levels. But the first is recognizing that whatever's happening, just see it as no big deal. If you're about to create something, don't see it as a big deal. See it as a play. See it as fun. Don't feel that this is the last thing you'll ever create and so it has to be perfect. You just allow yourself to flow with whatever that creation is, whatever the moment's bringing. Also, you can recognize that it's no big deal because it will pass. Feelings pass, thoughts pass, emotions pass. Don't see anything that arises as being too big of a deal. Just think, no big deal. I thought that was a really beautiful teaching and perhaps even a mantra. And the other aspect of this is sort of connecting with the first thing I was saying about inspiration, that you don't want to make too big a deal of it because it can lead to arrogance and pride or a sense of specialness. So if you take all the credit for all of the good things, then you're going to get this sort of like inflated sense of personal self. And this is a really dangerous place to be because it can definitely go in the opposite direction. But if you remain as the calm channel of it all, you say, hey, this was just one idea. Others may come, others may not, but I'm just appreciating this for what it is. So those aspects of of the talk were really resonating with me. And actually just now it's reminded me of a pointing in my latest book. And I'm going to do a quick search in the ebook for the page number, since I don't have every page memorized. And this pointing is, things are not as urgent as they seem. So on page 132 of the ebook. And the accompanying perspective is, when repeated and prolonged attention and belief are given to a thought, that matter can begin to feel very urgent. The perceived urgency is also a thought. In those moments, it may be beneficial to pause, take a breath, in through your nose, out through your mouth, which is actually very connected to my latest book with my nephew Makoa, and rest your attention in and as the present moment. In this way, the next right action will appear on its own in the silence and stillness that is your true nature. And so, at the risk of droning on this topic for ever and ever, I'm going to do my best to connect all of these different ideas. So when we're thinking of creativity and inspiration, we recognize that if we remain open and we bravely have the courage to act and we have gratitude for the idea, we don't have to take this creation as being such a big deal. We just see it as a beautiful manifestation of a sparkling idea that has kindly chosen to visit us. Now, we may feel, like I feel sometimes, this urgency to create it all in one day. Sometimes that's possible, other times it's not. So we can relieve ourselves of that anxiety by recognizing that we must properly manage our energy to continue going. And so we recognize that urgency itself as a thought, which we can align with or not. I typically choose to align with it and urgently write the idea when it's there because I know it might move on. And then we're grateful for the gift of that creation. And so when I'm thinking about, you know, this latest project with my nephew, Makoa, no matter how it turns out, I'm really grateful for the fact that not only that this idea visited me, that I pushed past any kind of doubts or self-chatter that maybe it's not good enough, to continue to just channel the idea without judgment, refining it as I went along, and then recognizing that no matter what the book is meant for, whether it'll be published one day or not, it's just this beautiful moment of connection. It's an act of love. It's an act of service. And that alone is more than enough. So if you're creative, and we all are, I hope that this inspires you to be open, allow yourself the opportunity to explore your own creative guidance. Whatever's arising for you, to surround yourself with those tools of that, the medium of that creative path, and just be brave. Be courageous. Don't be too hard on yourself. See it as not the end of the world. It's not a big deal. It's not as urgent as it seems if it's perfect right away. Give the idea time to unfold in its own way. Sometimes that's all at once. Sometimes it's based on a methodical day-to-day creation. I think of the great Toni Morrison, who used to write in the mornings at 4 to 5 a.m. when her sons were still sleeping, before she had to go to work and before they had to go to school. She made this conscious effort to use that quiet time to progress her Nobel Prize-winning novel and the many that she wrote before and after that. And then also to just be thankful. to know that inspiration comes on its own time. And so we're grateful when it arrives, and we're grateful for even the opportunity to lay the groundwork for its arrival. We love the process. We have fun with the process, and we know that no matter what, it creates connection. In the same way that this episode allowed for me to beautifully connect these, you know, three different people in my life with these three different inspirations into this one message. There's always connection at the root of creation, even if it means that you're connecting with that voice or that vision that is coming from we don't know where. But if we recognize that the source of these inspirations is the same, we start to grasp that it is this like vast, boundless supply. We don't see it as having limits. And so therefore, we don't feel limited. We know there's an abundance of creativity. It's the source of all creation. When you recognize your oneness with this source, you more easily recognize the body as a vessel. The body is a vessel that is capturing and sharing these divinely inspired ideas. Recognizing your oneness with this source is freedom. And of course, that is what I always wish for you. And I thank you so much for being here. Namaste.